This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
This is Amtower Off-Center on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Every week, speaker, consultant Mark Amtower gives you his take on what's going on in the world of government contracting. Amtower Off-Center with your host, Mark Amtower.
Welcome to our no-holds-barred forum for discussing what's good, bad, ugly, and just plain silly in the arena of doing business with the government. I'm Mark Amtower. My guest today is a return guest. She hadn't been on for a while. Joanne Wojtek is the NASA SEWP Program Manager. Joanne, welcome back to the show.
Thank you for having me.
It's been a while. For those, I can't imagine too many people in the IT community don't know about SEWP, given its history, et cetera. But for those who may be new to the market or not familiar with government-wide vehicles, contracts, anyway, give us some history of this this remarkable contract.
Or why NASA does something like this, which is also very interesting.
Yeah, we're going to get into why NASA does something like this, but let's start off with the history of the beast.
Yeah, so like a bad joke, about 20 years ago, a procurement person, a technical person, and a policy person at NASA all walked into a room together, and we're trying to find a way to make procurement easier for our technical people at NASA Goddard Space Flight Center. And they came up with this idea of an IDIQ contract that they could use at Goddard to help our scientists. It was taking 6 to 12 months to buy a computer at that point in time. And so they were trying little tricks to get around that. And rather than trying tricks, we thought we'd come up with an actual contract. Went to headquarters, NASA headquarters. They said, that's great. NASA headquarters said, let's make this all at NASA. And at that time, GSA was the procurement authority for delegation of procurement authority to contracts and to agencies. And they said, well, this sounds like a great idea. We'd like to try something called a GWAC. We've never done this before. We want you to be the pilot. So that's how we became a GWAC. It was actually under GSA's bequest that we be the pilot study for that and see how we could work out the roles and how other agencies would use us. You know, there were lots of different ways that we tried in SEWP 1. Every few months, we'd have to revise the roles based on how actually it was getting used. But it was a learning experience.
Okay. So the SEWP contracts, the first GWAC, also
correct.
IDIQ, 1992, 20 years. Congratulations. SEWP 4 is the current iteration of this. I understand that you guys are revising or renewing or updating the mission for the SEWP contract as well. So where was it and where are you taking it?
Well, we had a vision that was a pretty good vision for many years. It was to essentially be the premier customer service contract vehicle. We felt a year or so ago we had reached that vision, which is what you're supposed to do with vision. So it was really nice to do that and realized we should probably try to find a new vision. What do we really want to be in 2 to 3 years? So over a 6 to 9 month period, meeting with staff and various folks, determining what it is that we do, what is it that we want to do. We came up with a new vision back in May, and it actually significantly coincided with our announcement that SEWP 5 was starting, because, in fact, part of our vision is SEWP 5. One of the key parts to our mission and vision is that up until now, SEWP has always tried to just do its job quietly behind the scenes, and not make any waves, not so much be a leader as be just kind of be there. We realized that we had reached the point in our in the program where we had to make a decision: are we going to stay that way, or are we going to actually take a leadership role? And we determined that as part of this process, and made it part of our vision and mission, that we are going to take a leadership role in the acquisition community and try to really be out there, working with agencies, working with OMB, working with whoever we need to in different organizations to drive how IT acquisitions should occur.
Okay. So that is that the vision portion or the mission portion or
both? It was kind of both. The vision the vision part is that Soup will solidify its reputation as an innovative customer-focused program, and then that we are going to seamlessly transition to Soup 5 and be, at the same time, be a visible contributor to NASA and the IT acquisition community.
Okay. Well, for several years, all of the studies I have seen, and pretty much anybody who follows IT in the government has seen, Soup has been a preferred contract, if not the preferred contract, for purchasing certain types of IT products and services. So, number one, I'm really happy to see that you're going to be more public with this, because I've been a fan of the program since I competed with you guys way back when in Super Mini days. Super Mini's not here. You are.
Yes, that is true.
But Super Mini was the second GWAC, originally won by PRC, and the mission there was to add anything possible to the contract that had margin to maximize the value of the vehicle. You had a more focused mission.
Yes, and that's actually one of the things that we saw and still see throughout the time. You know, our mission is to do a program for contracts. It's not trying to be more than that or trying to make money or trying to be more than just the best program it can be, and that's still part of our mission and vision.
Okay. So when you start implementing this vision, being more visible as a leader, does this mean that you or you have a relatively small team, number one?
Yeah, 40 staff.
Yeah, and for a contract this size, that's tiny. But does this mean you are going to be proactive in going out to agency IT shops to explain more about what Soup offers, how to buy from it, how to work with your staff?
Yes, exactly. We actually formed a new group called the Program Level Outreach Team, with a PLOT, that is made up of three senior staff who I can send off to wherever we see a need. So they've met with folks, for example, from Homeland Security, from Treasury, from Bureau of Engraving, IRS. So we've already started that process, and it's a chance to kind of go out of away from just meeting with procurement people and meeting with the CIO and the CXO level of folks and say, well, how can we help your agency? You're using us already. We are one of the only contracts, GSA being the other, who I think can say every single agency uses the contracts, and there's not an agency you can name that does not. I can guarantee you that. So we have it at that level, but we don't necessarily have it at the higher level of the agency to get the visibility that in fact they're using us. Let's use it strategically.
Okay, so you may even go in early enough to be involved, not directly, but maybe tangentially in the OMB 53s.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. I'm not looking for
and we are and part of this is, of course, we are looking to be there more with OMB also, and how can we assist them in their goals and what they're trying to do. So we want to play that role with them.
Well, did you, I'm assuming you read the 25 points that Mr. Kundra left us with, and probably with a more discerning eye than many. But with an eye to where can you help specifically on these things, cloud being the biggie here. I'm number one, is that accurate? You read this with an eye to what Soup can do?
And nothing in the Kundra 25 points was unusual for us. It actually fit quite well with what Soup provides, both as a program and from a contract point of view for assistance to the other agencies. So we are right in line with all of that.
We should also point out that accessing Soup as an agency is a very low cost, comparatively speaking, tool.
Yes, we are the lowest percentage for any fee for service contract vehicle in the government, at a 0.45% with a $10,000 cap, which makes an average of about 0.36%.
Okay, and given the fact that your average contracts run into the low hundreds of millions, that's a great fee.
Yes, and that's because, again, we're not here to make money. We're not here to. We're just here to make enough money to pay the staff and keep the computers running so that the website's up, and that's all that we need to do.
Cool. This is exciting stuff. Especially exciting to me because Soup Vive's coming out. It's going to be fun to watch competition. All of the bidding on that. It's going to be fun to see who wins.
Fun is one word.
Well, I know you guys are going to be a little busy, but we're going to get into a little more of this when we come back. You're listening to AmTower Off Center on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, back after these messages.
Here's Dr. Ross Fletcher, Chief of Staff at the Washington, D.C. VA Medical Center, on the Gateway to Veterans Health and Wellness panel.
The combination of the team of doctor, nurse, and patient is being greatly enhanced by the transparency of My Healthy Vet. And the more we can give the patient, the more transparent that is, the more power we get along those lines. They're all part of the team, and they actually teach themselves how to take care of themselves.
To listen to the whole program, log on to federalnewsradio.com.
My Health eVet, VA's personal health record, helps veteran patients actively participate in their health and well-being. If you're a VA patient, consider upgrading your account today at myhealth.va.gov. With an upgraded account, veterans can securely access personal health records online 24/7. An upgraded account offers secure messaging, which strengthens the partnership between veterans and your healthcare team. To learn more, visit myhealth.va.gov. That's myhealth.va.gov. Take control of your VA healthcare.
Here's David Young, EUC Solutions Architect, VMware, on a recent Client Virtualization Solutions panel discussion sponsored by GovConnection, HP, and VMware.
As we start to look at the virtual world, you know, my endpoint that I'm going into is still the same device, but because I come in from a different access layer, out off of the internet or a Wi-Fi device versus at the office, I have different controls, and we can put fences around things and allow you to see the data and maybe not print it, or maybe not allow you to see the data if you're coming from an area that's not considered secure.
VMware View helps federal IT leaders comply with the Telework Enhancement Act, meet COOP initiatives, and solve the access control dilemma. HP Thin clients have been certified to work with VMware View Manager. This end-to-end solution allows you to simplify desktop management, reduce costs, improve data protection, and promote compliance. GovConnection is your one-stop resource for all of your IT projects. Visit govconnection.com/federalVDI for more details today.
This week on Agency of the Month, Kathy Hudson, Director of Human Resources at the National Security Agency, said,
"A lot of the partnerships, government industry, are in a really good place and improving, have very much improved over the past couple of years. What we need to do now is step up our efforts in order to be, because ultimately, cyber time really does mean cyber time. And so we actually have to be able to have those exchanges happening in time enough to make a difference."
Agency of the Month, Wednesday mornings at 11 a.m. in June. Sage Management is a leader in finding solutions to national security challenges within federal and state government. Being a small veteran-owned business, the leaders at Sage Management understand the importance of offering professional, streamlined services quickly and effectively. Their mission is to apply sound business management practices, proven engineering solutions, and community expertise in all aspects of national security. To find out more about Sage Management and career opportunities, visit sage-mgt.net.
Hi, welcome to Best Buy. May I help you?
Yeah, my car's entertainment system just isn't cutting it.
Easy answer. Get an HD radio receiver, 100% free digital sound, digital traffic, and great music choices from your local HD2, HD3 radio stations.
Well, what brands do you have?
Best Buy has new expanded HD radio inventory, Alpine, Kenwood, Pioneer, JVC, with prices as low as $120.
Wow, an HD radio digital entertainment center? Show me the way. HD radio, more radio, more value.
The CIO Council's recently released digital government strategy goes beyond mobile technology to rethink the way federal agencies manage information and interact with citizens. The shared platform approach not only addresses data, application, and device management, but also how to mitigate the threat of security breaches. Join FCA Bethesda on June 20th at the Bethesda North Marriott for a discussion about how agencies transform this policy into action. Register at fciabethesda.org/junebreakfast.
Welcome back to AmTower Off Center on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Mark AmTower. My guest today is Joanne Wojtek. Joanne is the program manager for the NASA SOUP contract, and this is an all-SOUP contract show today. we touched on this in the last segment, but how does SUPE operate within NASA proper? I mean, I know you guys had the three people meeting and you went to HQ and they said go for it. But that was 20 years ago.
Right. And for the first few years, we operated in a kind of vapor somewhere off in the cloud before the cloud was the cloud. but in 99, we formed a program office and settled under the CIO's office at Goddard Space Flight Center. But one of the things that has always distinguished SUPE is the fact that we are our own program funded entirely by the usage. And we have always set ourselves up so that financially none of our monies are used by NASA, and we don't get to use any of NASA's money except when they use our contracts. So it's set up. GAO just did a report on all the contract vehicles of our type, and we were the only ones who have a financially encased program in such that no money goes outside of what we are used for to keep the program running. And that's something we're kind of proud of. We were never meant to make money for anything. We were there to run a program that was the best it could be.
Does HQ or the program office at Goddard attempt to offer management suggestions, or are you really autonomous at this point?
I do, I do have a boss, and that's the CIO at Goddard, and So certainly work with him, and then of course we fall therefore also under the CIO at NASA, and we also work with the procurement office at headquarters. We're not autonomous in the sense that we just go off and do our own thing, but because we are successful and able to work autonomously, even though we are not autonomous, we can get what we want done without having to impinge upon other resources.
Okay. That's great, number one, especially in economically austere times.
It keeps us, we want to keep the resource usage low. That's why we have a low staff. Our goal was always to get to 0.5%. We're happy to be 0.45% with FE, but we recognize that we're not there to try to, take money from other agencies. So we really try to manage it at the best budgetary way we can.
Okay. So SUPE is now 20. You've got a track record literally that permeates every agency in the federal government.
That is correct.
Who are the biggies?
So our biggest customer is, not surprisingly, the customer with the most IT money, which is DOD. Our second biggest customer is Veterans Affairs. They decided back when SUPE 4 started to use this as one of their main sources for IT purchasing. And so a lot of ordering comes from them. Recently, I mentioned earlier that we have this plot team that goes out to agencies and works with them, and Treasury has been one of our focuses, and they have now moved up to actually to number three in the list of usage. And another top customer is GSA, which surprises people at times unless they understand how GSA operates, and in that they have an acquisition service that they provide to the government to find the best vehicle to buy whatever it is they want to be bought. And sometimes that's SUPE, sometimes it's not. They can make their decisions, and sometimes it's a different contract vehicle, it's open market. But they do use us when it makes sense within their own agency. And NASA has always been in the top 10. It's not one of the top ones because we don't have the biggest IT budget. so we can only use as much as we have, but we have a very steady usage throughout all the NASA centers. Mm-hmm. And we did recently have a memo go out to all of NASA reminding them to use NASA contracts first, such as SUPE.
So. Okay. we're talking right now because SUPE 4 is in the process of winding down. Technically, it's got, 2 years left?
Just under 2 years.
Okay. But I saw, and number one, I heard you, on Francis a few weeks or a month back, Francis Rose's show. And before that, I saw that you had started the market research for SUPE 5. Tell me a little bit about the research and what information is available for this emerging new iteration.
So on May 1st, which happened to be 2 years prior to the end of SUPE 4, we announced that we had entered the market research phase of Soup 5. That was to put everybody on notice that we are, in fact, planning on continuing the Soup contract program after 2014. That was our main purpose in making that announcement. We've actually been doing market research from the day Soup 4 was awarded. Actually, probably during the proposal process, we were doing Soup 5 market research because we were already thinking about how could we make it better the next time around. So
what types of information are you looking for in that process?
So the one question is, where is procurement and acquisition policy and usage, and how can we best fit into those changes that are always occurring? And then, of course, there's always the technology question of, are we providing the best scope of technology on our contracts, and how can we improve that if need be? Where are there any holes that we have? An example from Soup 3 to Soup 4 was we added cost per copy printing in Soup 4 because we recognized that as something that was missing. We also added lighting in Soup 4, which is kind of a strange one, but we had AV and we had video conferencing, and somebody said, well, I'm building a video conferencing facility and I need some lights, and that was not available in Soup 3. So we look at things like that. What is something that somebody's asked for that we said no to that still fits in our scope, but we need to put it in there?
So it's a facilities issue, but it's a facilities issue that's impacted by the use of technology within the client.
That's right. Yeah. So we have to. Yeah. So it's all a question of where do we draw the line at that point? And we always are watching for that and making track of that. So we were fortunate in Soup 4. We do have cloud and scope. It happened to be something that sort of technology was emerging in 4 or 5 years ago. So we had that in the scope. So there's not that much new out there that isn't already, but there's always something that we have to look for. So we want to hear from that. We want to hear about small businesses, making sure that we don't in any way exclude them. It's just bringing together all those pieces. And Soup has always been evolutionary. So what we are trying to do is, how do we evolve from 4 to 5 is the bottom line. In terms of industry and government, if they're interested in Soup 5, they should go to the Soup website, www.sewp.nasa.gov, and there's a link to register to gain information about the contracts. And all that this will do is it will put you on the emailing list, and as we announce anything relating to Soup 5, anybody registered will get an email to that extent. We're also holding one-on-one meetings with industry. We have 50 to 60 industry folks coming in July to give us some of their views, to kind of give us some broad view of what's going on out there. This is not does not have to do with proposals. It's purely a step in the market research phase. But what I encourage everybody to do is to watch for the draft RFP, which will come out, I'm sure, sometime in 2013, because that would be the timing issue. When that comes out, though, we have an interactive website that they can ask questions, see other comments that have been made, see our responses. It's very, very cool. Our draft RFP tool that we use that we want our industry partners to look at and help us make sure that we have a really great RFP when we're all done.
Okay, so a bulletproof RFP.
One of my concerns is, and we talked about the 25 points and industry talking with government was part of it, and I always bring up the issue, industry has to give back, they have to tell us things. So if we see something in the RFP that is wrong, don't tell us. Don't assume that we did it on purpose. Tell us. Last time we actually had to postpone award of some of the contracts because nobody told us something was wrong until they sent the proposal in and said, by the way, this is wrong. It's like, okay,
thanks.
Now we have to start over again because it's already in the proposal. So please pay attention. Please let us know. We do really pay attention to everything that's told us.
Well, I would hope that at least the companies that have worked with you in the past already understand this.
I've been trying to drive it into, well, not just theirs, but anytime I talk to anybody, I drive that into them, is watch the draft RFP.
Well, I had the good fortune to keynote your conference a couple of years ago down, I think that was in Texas, right? Austin, because we ate at Stubbs. wonderful barbecue. When I went there, the coolest thing about the whole conference, like, it was like a family reunion. You know, the Govies were there, the customers or the vendors were there, but it was literally, you know, everybody knew everybody. So that was a very different feel for me being at a government conference.
Well, not so much they know everybody, but we act like we know everybody, so that we can. So that if you're new, even if we don't know you, we try to bring people into the fold of being of networking. We always look at ourselves as a middle ground between industry and government, facilitating communications in all ways, whether it's at a conference or on a website or through our tools.
It worked. You're listening to AmTower Off Center on Federal News Radio 1500 AM, back after these messages.
FederalNewsRadio.com, your source for federal news now.
The leader in informational seminars on federal benefits, financial, and retirement planning. NITP was established in 1984 and is 100% devoted to federal planning seminars. The mission is to educate federal employees and enable them to make fully informed decisions regarding their financial futures and retirement options. Through a variety of teaching platforms and seminars, NITP has the experience to help with your planning needs. Visit NITPinc.com. That's NITPinc.com for more information.
I'm Kurt Krause, General Manager of the National Conference Center in Leesburg, Virginia. Recent overspending by the GSA has triggered drastic meeting and travel restrictions that are short-sighted. The fact is, most government departments spend sensibly. Training is critical for every organization's success, including the government and our military. These sweeping changes will negatively impact our industry and the economy. See my letter in the Washington Post advocating long-term solutions, not short-sighted reactions. And for responsible meeting options, visit conferencecenter.com.
Paid for by the National Conference Center.
At the Jeep brand, we've been on active duty for over 70 years, in conditions you can imagine and some you can't. And like our soldiers, we never shy away from a challenge. So we'd like to honor our armed forces' outstanding service during the Jeep military event. Get $500 military bonus cash toward a new 2012 Jeep vehicle. After so much time and service to others, we're giving our soldiers the recognition they deserve. Jeep. Hurry into your local Jeep dealer or visit Jeep.com for this special military offer, along with other great incentives on the full line of legendary Jeep vehicles. Offer available to active military and military reserve and a retired military and military reserve with honorable discharge and 20 years of service within 6 months of discharge date on a retail purchase or lease. Excludes SRT models. See dealer for details. Jeep is a registered trademark of Chrysler Group, LLC.
Here in the metro area, you'll find interesting people, top-notch restaurants, great sports teams, and plenty of monuments and museums. And here is where you'll find your next career, as a civilian employee of the United States Coast Guard. A career in the U.S. Coast Guard offers you stability, excellent federal benefits, and a flexible work schedule. So if you're looking for that next opportunity, consider the U.S. Coast Guard, where your career is how you serve. To find out more, visit the United States Coast Guard website at CoastGuardCivilian.com/federal. The U.S. Coast Guard is an equal opportunity employer.
And I can just read on the plane without any problem. Like now, when I'm on the airplane and somebody has a Kindle, they either have to turn on the light because a Kindle doesn't have any light built into it, or they also have these little small lights that clamp onto the side of the Kindle that lights it up because the Kindle is not a backlit screen. On the other hand, when I go to the swimming pool and there's bright sunlight, I cannot use the iPad.
Saturday mornings from 9 to 10 on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
When lives are at stake, you need technology you can count on. FLIR Systems' legacy of life-saving thermal imaging sensors continues through their offering of full-spectrum chemical, biological, radiation, and explosive threat detection systems and beyond-the-fence perimeter security solutions. Visit FLIR.com to learn more. FLIR Systems, because it's not just your job, it's your life.
Instead of daily nicotine patches or pills, an experimental anti-smoking treatment aims to prevent the pleasures of smoking through vaccination. The vaccine is made of tiny biodegradable particles engineered to instigate an immune response against nicotine. Lloyd Johnston of Selecta Biosciences says it could work for years.
DARD vaccine goes away, but we've taught the body how to make antibodies.
Those antibodies latch onto nicotine molecules, making them too big to cross the blood-brain barrier.
Essentially make your blood like a big sponge for nicotine so it never gets to the brain, and therefore you don't get the reward effects of smoking, which makes it easier to stop smoking, but more importantly, it helps prevent relapse.
To find out more about this and other engineering innovation stories, please go to www.nae.edu/radio. That's www.nae.edu/radio. With the National Academy of Engineering, Randy Atkins, Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Welcome back to Amtower Off Center on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. My guest today is Joanne Wojtek. Joanne is the program manager for the NASA subcontract, currently in its 21st year.
Well, actually, it's still the 20th year.
20th year.
We'll celebrate our 20th anniversary.
We're 92. Well, invite me to the party because I'm only about 20 minutes from your office.
And we actually plan on having a party in next year to celebrate.
I'll be there. Well, I'll be there if you invite me.
We'll
see. But, you know, 20 years. Okay, so how do you keep adding value to the market? Why do you stay the most popular IT contract? Literally, from any vendor, any IT vendor I speak with, if they had one preferred vehicle, they'd say Soup.
Well, two things come to mind. Well, actually, three. One is we're a program. I always tell people, how do we succeed? It's because we don't look at ourselves as just a contract vehicle, but as a program. With real program missions and visions, as we talked about earlier. But then on top of that, we are very flexible. We're flexible for the government because we allow for anything that's within scope to be available to our government customers through these contracts. And then at the same time, we're very constrained. You can't play outside of our sandbox. So as long as what the customer wants fits our scope, which is IT products, audiovisual products, and services related to products like installation and maintenance. So any hardware, any software, any peripherals, any networking communications, all of those types of products, again, any kind of AV product, all that is available. And it doesn't matter if it's on the contract yet. What matters is it in scope? Our process is set up so that we can go ahead and do that. And we even have things like security and the ability to do SCIF type work that has been asked. We've had people from the White House use us.
We're not going to get into the Intel thing, suffice it to say DOD.
So the entire, you know, whether it's something that is leading edge or just a, you know, a basic type of technology, all that the customer has to do is come to us and ask for it. They'll either get quotes back or we'll assist them in finding out how to get that item available. So it's a dynamic. We're a dynamic catalog. We're not a static catalog. It's built every day. We have 38 companies that have contracts that were competed and four that were non-competed set-asides. But under those, we have 4,000 companies represented, manufacturers, and we add 5 to 10 companies a week to that list of 4,000, which shows how dynamic we are.
But it also shows how selective you are, because I imagine the number of companies that would like to get on this vehicle is much larger than 5 to 10 per week.
Well, the number of companies we like to have contracts is a lot more than 38, which is probably the bigger number. We're very selective as to which companies will be awarded. That's why it takes 2 years to do these proposals and the award. It is not an easy thing to do. We don't want to make it easy for either the government or industry. We want to make it so that we can be very selective. Then once we have that in place, we can build upon that based on what our customer needs. So the 5 to 10 basically relates to how many new companies people are looking for in the government that aren't already available. The selection process is usually made by the customer more so than by us.
Okay. Now, one of the other issues that has been extremely hot recently is the one, the BYOD thing. But, you know, a lot of agencies, that's really going to be a crapshoot as to whether or not it happens. But what about mobility and the other things maybe that we weren't quite talking about at the beginning of Soup, or maybe even until Soup 3?
So Soup, as part of its scope, communications and all sorts of IT devices are in scope. Therefore, things like even iPhones and such are in scope. iPads are in scope. However, we as you mentioned, it is all relatively new in terms of where things have gone and the amount of services now available with those types of products. So we are a little limited in how much we can provide in terms of monthly services. We don't have monthly phone services or monthly data rate services in the scope of Soup. Whether that would be something, for example, we talked about how Soup 5 is an evolution. That's the sort of thing that we look at. I'm not saying we will or will not, but we will certainly be looking at, here's an area that's not currently available on Soup.
Is that going to be a customer-driven decision in part, do you think?
It can be. Some of these decisions can be based on customers. Some of it's based on, does it fit the schema under which Soup operates? We don't want to go outside of something that works. You know, that people ask us, why don't you do labor support services? Well, we don't, because that's a different type of vehicle. That's a different type of contract. It requires different program oversight. So that's why we don't do labor support, even though our customers often ask for that. We have labor services related to products, but not the generic labor support that something like Alliant can give you.
Okay. And Alliant has that very nice Alliant Small Biz, so hopefully you'll aim them at the small businesses over there.
Absolutely.
We'll get into small businesses in the next segment. So where do you fit in the whole scheme of supply chain management? I mean, all of these issues kind of revolve around that.
Well, we're very interested in how supply chain management can work within a contract vehicle such as Soup, and in fact so interested that we are part of a group, the Open Group. It's called the Open Technology Forum, and we are working on an international standard. It's driven by industry, but Soup and DoD has representatives at this forum, and they're trying to come up with a standard for how to ensure that what you're purchasing is neither counterfeit nor tainted. That's our two main focuses, and so we're playing a part of that. Because it's one thing to talk about that from the manufacturer role. The question is, how do you deal with that when you're dealing with resellers? How do you deal with certifications and making sure that what you're buying is what you want when you're dealing with 38 companies with 4,000 or 10,000 manufacturers and a supply chain that you're not quite sure where something may have come from? So it is very much on my mind. Certainly another area that somebody might consider might show up in the Soup 5 contracts in terms of how can we best do supply chain management. We are definitely looking at how something like the Open Group certification that we're working on there, or other things like the NIST, the NI, National Institute of Standards Technology, has a draft supply chain management statement out there that we're also aware of. So we're going to make sure that we fit within that and also drive it where we can so that it doesn't hurt the government or industry when we come up with the solution, but actually helps both sides.
Is the Open Tech Forum that you referenced a U.S. consortium? Is it a government consortium? Is it international? What is it?
It is an international consortium. It's actually run by the Open Group, who is best known for holding the Unix trademark and also well known for architecture standards. DoD came to them with a request to look into doing supply chain management. And that particular forum is primarily industry-driven with folks like IBM, Oracle, Cisco, EMC, and I can name more, but yeah,
sure.
We should probably give you a link somewhere so you can link to anybody wants to read it. They can come to our website. We have links there.
The website, again, is sewp.nasa.gov.
Yeah, and if you go to the Open Group link, there'll be information about the Trusted Technology Forum.
Okay. That issue alone has been the counterfeit parts portion has been in and out of the news several times this year, and I think Senator McCain, among others, has made it a kind of a sticking point for some of the contracts. Yeah. How rampant is, from your perspective, the problem of counterfeit parts?
I don't know that it's rampant. I think it's a concern. Now, obviously, and what's interesting is being on this forum with DoD, the group that I'm on with is the weapons group. For them, it's a much different concern.
Yeah.
They want to make sure that what's going into their major weapons is actually going to work. You know, we're dealing with more commodity buys. And it actually, so it's a nice counterpoint between the two of us. The issue is not huge, but you don't want that one computer or laptop suddenly getting into a major system that somehow was tainted because it went came from some unknown source.
Redirects the barrel to the good guys instead of the bad guys.
So I think in my view, the provenance. I'm learning to be an art person, using the term that you always think about with art. You know, what's the provenance? So I think the big question is, what's the provenance of an item? Where did that come from? Who touched it? That's going to become more important for government and industry to make sure that we know that what chain it fell through, and was there certified folks in between, if there are certifications available. So when we have this technology form and come up with a standard, you know, who gets standardized? Can we make sure that we know that from one point to the next, it hasn't been tainted or in any way changed?
Cool. You're listening to AmTower Off-Center on Federal News Radio 1500 AM, where we will be back after these messages, and we're going to talk in some depth about soup and small business.
The Pentagon and Beyond is brought to you by EADS North America.
On Friday, Secretary of Defense Leon Panetta thanked gay and lesbian military members for their service as the Pentagon prepares to mark June as Gay Pride Month with an official salute. Panetta said with the repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell last year that prohibited gays from serving openly in the military, and they can now be proud to be in a uniform. He said he's committed to removing as many barriers as possible to making the military a model of equal opportunity. I'm J.J. Green.
Airmen, we're on our way.
At EADS North America, we help our country respond to emergencies and natural disasters.
We see you. We're coming in.
From coordinating communications to medevac and emergency response, we provide the mission-critical systems our country demands. Every day, we support homeland security and defense missions here at home and around the globe.
Patient secure. ETA 10 minutes.
EADS North America. Commitment defines us.
This is John Gilroy from Federal Tech Talk. You know, I've done over 260 interviews here on Federal News Radio, but many listeners still ask, what does your company do, John? My company is called Armature. For the past decade, we have worked with organizations that have programs for conformity assessment, accreditation, standards, and policy management. Is your agency responsible for conformity assessment? If so, then please visit our website, armaturecorp.com. We can help.
Today is the day to make the switch to decide you're going to choose to save money with Ackerman Security Systems.
I was looking at ways to reduce expenses at home. I checked my alarm monitoring bill, and wow, I made the switch to Ackerman with no cost to switch and only $18.95 a month. Now I save $25 a month. That's $300 a year.
Why wait? Call Ackerman today and receive 2 months of basic monitoring free. Call 888-999-1070 or AckermanSecurity.com.
Pooling together really rewards. Van pools have now been added to the popular Pool Rewards program. If you currently drive alone to work and can carpool at least 2 days a week or form a new van pool, you may qualify for a cash incentive or reduced commuting costs. Visit CommuterConnections.org. Click on Pool Rewards to find out more. Need to find others to rideshare with? Commuter Connections provides free ride matching services too. Pool Rewards. It pays to rideshare. Some restrictions apply. Visit CommuterConnections.org today to get started.
Accenture, high performance delivered. It's how we help clients take on their most complex challenges. We consolidated more than 100 defense financial systems into one, and we helped eliminate $348 million in U.S. federal fleet inventory and freight costs. As a partner with both defense and industry knowledge, Accenture is uniquely equipped to help you accomplish your missions. Accenture, high performance delivered. To learn more, visit Accenture.com/federal.
Concerned about your health? Then be sure to catch the groundbreaking radio show, Essentials of Healthy Living, brought to you by Village Green Apothecary in Bethesda. Join hosts Dana Lake and Kevin Passero as they bring you the latest news about traditional and alternative medicine, dietary supplements, nutrition, and healthy living. Tune in every Sunday at 10 a.m. on 1500 a.m. Visit myvillagegreen.com, listen to past shows, and discover other healthy living resources.
Essentials of Healthy Living is sponsored by Garden of Life and Boron.
Listen to Fed Talk on Federal News Radio 1500 AM every Friday morning at 11. Brought to you by the attorneys of Shaw, Bransford, and Roth. Fed Talk features live interviews with guests from the federal community, sharing their insights on issues that affect you. Call in or email questions or comments to fedtalk@federalnewsradio.com. Fed Talk is sponsored by GEICO. This week on Fed Talk, Bill Bransford will host a roundtable discussion on diversity in the federal government and in the senior executive service.
Rock that fanny pack, wearing those khakis last.
Kevin,
yeah?
What are you doing?
Just singing this sweet tune I heard on the radio this morning.
We need to get you HD radio, man. Those are not the lyrics. If you were listening to that song in my Kia Optima with the UVO infotainment system and HD radio, you'd hear all the lyrics with crystal clear digital sound quality. Plus the artist and song title even display on my UVO screen.
Then let's go for a ride and hope the fanny pack song comes on.
Voice-activated UVO infotainment system with HD radio, now available in the Kia Optima.
This is Mark Amtower. For 27 years, I've advised hundreds of large and small contractors on the best marketing tactics to reach key government buyers and influencers. Collectively, my clients have made billions of dollars by maximizing the value of their contracts. If you need to maximize the value of your GSA schedule, GWAC, or IDIQ, or you need to raise your overall visibility in the government market, we need to talk. Make certain your marketing budget pays major dividends. Contact me at federaldirect.net.
Welcome back to Amtower Off-Center on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'm Mark Amtower. My guest today is Joanne Wojtek, the program manager for the NASA SUP contract. You can find a lot of information and links to a number of things we've been discussing at sewp.nasa.gov. Joanne, There's always been a small business component to the vehicle, and you've been pretty aggressive at ensuring small business participation. Even though there's not tens of thousands of contractors on this vehicle, we're at somewhere under 50. Tell me what you're doing here on the small business forefront. You had the first service-disabled vet.
Right. When we went out for SUP 4, at that time, VA was looking at using us more heavily, and we recognized that where their goals were and said, we should probably do a set-aside for SDVOSBs, service-disabled veteran and small business community. So there are many of those out there now, but we were the first at that time. We did so with, I will say, a little trepidation. It was a fairly new area for businesses, and especially in the IT reseller world. We ended up with six companies in that group who got an award, all of them very, very, very small at the time. All of them have done amazing work and have grown. In fact, one of them is no longer a small business. We just recertified our small businesses, and we now have, of those six originals, five are still available. We have another sixth one actually in the full and open competition area. We also
if they recertify as large, they don't necessarily leave the contract. They're just no longer
right. So what has happened is we used to have 21 small businesses altogether on the contracts. We now have 17. The four that are now no longer small, they're still available. They still are being used by where it makes sense. But if a set aside is done to small businesses, they will not be included. And if an award is made to them, obviously small business credit cannot be done. So our website is totally built around that to make it clear to customers which are the small, which are not, which have changed. We actually have annotated that, so that's easy to tell on our website. We've also had the component of having 4 8A non-competed set asides, so altogether that gives us 21 small businesses when we're all done out of 42. So half of our businesses are small.
Okay, and dollar wise, these companies, there are no underperformers on SUP. Is that a safe statement from me?
Well, I don't know what you mean by underperformer. I think there are some companies that do better than others, but that's up to each company as to whether they want to put the resources in. If a company doesn't want to get salespeople, they aren't going to perform as well.
Right.
That always happens when you have 38. You're going to have a few that don't do as well. That doesn't mean everybody actually does business, though. Everybody does continue to get business. In terms of numbers, we're really happy with our small business numbers. 48% of the dollars in SUP go to through the small business contracts.
Say that number again.
48%. And the SDVOSBs, 10% of the dollars go to the SDVOSBs. I believe the goals are 24 and 3 for the government. So we're more than double the government goals in those areas. And that's because we set up our contract vehicles and our program to be flexible, to let these companies grow, and to let the customers find them easily and get to them easily. So it's not, they don't have to go looking.
They don't have to vet.
They just have to push a button.
Right.
and they'll get quotes and they'll get the business. Yes.
Okay. But, you know, let's go back to the beginning, if you will, the beginning of our conversation here. Soup has been around for 20 years now. You're coming up on your 20th anniversary. And since the inception, it has been really at the forefront of IT acquisition, offering products and services that are crucial to certain communities inside the government. What are you doing to stay there? How do you stay there?
Well, let's bring up one of the key fun things about Soup is back in Soup 1, we had four acquisition objectives and in Soup 4, and I'm with Brett in Soup 5, they will still remain basically the same, including the fourth, which is to be an innovative procurement vehicle. And it's actually one of our top goals. So, again, people say, what makes us different? That's therein is one of those differences. Most contracts don't think about that. That should be a goal. So we build that into how we run the program and what we want to do with our tools. We also spend a lot of time in outreach with our customers. I am constantly on the road meeting with our customers and seeing what they're doing, hearing what they're doing, hearing their frustrations. So I can come back to our staff and come up with ways to improve our tools, improve our communications. It's a continuously improving system without necessarily being in the standard way, but always looking to what comes next. For example, our quote tool is now 6 to 7 years old. It's always been a very, very nice tool, has lots of good features, lots of unique features, but it's beginning to show its age. So this summer we'll be introducing the new quote request tool. I use the TurboTax example for those who use TurboTax or anything like that. It has that sort of feel to it. Not that we're going to tax anybody, but the feel in terms of the forms, right, that you go from one page to another. You can go back and forth. You can save at any point. So we're looking at how to make it more like that, but also add some new tweaks and some new features that will make our customers' lives easier based on their feedback to us.
You know, the program itself is simply a remarkable testament to the people who have worked on it since day one. So give me your final thoughts here on, you know, maybe where you anticipate going with the advent of Soup 5.
Well, I think our mission and vision statements, you know, are, I have to say, I'm very happy with them. I'm not often happy with visions and mission statements, but they really come state to that. We want to go forward and be the best at every piece of the program and also lead the way for other agencies to understand how they can better use our contracts, or if there are other policies and procedures and whatever OMB and Congress is coming up with that we can help with. You know, we're there to help our agencies. That's really always the mission of a GWAC should be, is to be there for all the government and assist them in getting their acquisitions done.
And as far as GWACs go, number one, Soup is literally the granddaddy, but it's also deservedly number one. Congratulations on that. Congratulations to your staff.
I have a great staff.
Yeah, you do. And, you know, with 40 folks there, you know, you guys are doing just truly some remarkable stuff. So thanks for taking time out of your schedule to come back. We will do this again, not in the same time frame we did last time, but I want you back sooner, well before the RFP issuance, because I know after that you won't be able to talk to me in public.
Yes.
So
the cone of silence.
Well, there you go. Joanne, thanks. You can find a ton of information about the Soup contract at sewp.nasa.gov. And if you want to totally ingratiate yourself to Joanne, find a great rubber duck, because her collection is bigger than mine, and I have nine myself. So
very good.
And this is not my day job. If you want to ensure your marketing program's paying dividends, if you have a Soup contract and you're not making as much money as some of the others, give me a call. You can find me at federaldirect.net. And thank you for listening to AmTower Off Center.
You've been listening to AmTower Off Center on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear it in its entirety on our website, federalnewsradio.com. AmTower Off Center, Monday afternoons at noon, only on Federal News Radio 1500 AM, WFED, your source for federal news now.